Well, we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We are featuring our guests from the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility, otherwise known as NBAF here locally, as we're talking with Dr. Roxanne Matroni. She's the ARS National Program Leader for Animal Health, Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Deputy Director, and Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director. Dr. Matroni, tell us more about the workforce development programs. What are you looking for in NBAF's future workforce, and why are these programs important to NBAF?
So this is probably my favorite topic to discuss about NBAF. USDA ARS has a long history of training the next generation of scientists, and Plum Island has trained well over 100 postdocs or scientists. But having the NBAF workforce development funding that came in 2017 allowed us to formalize a lot of our programs, and so it's been something that many of us who are working on it are really passionate about. We know that for NBAF, we're going to need a diverse set of scientific expertise, right? We need veterinarians, we need microbiologists, we need bioinformaticians, and so we're really hoping that we're going to be able to recruit that workforce and that those people are passionate about the ARS mission to support animal and public health. So our workforce development students, our development programs target students at different stages of their careers to get exposure to ARS and the NBAF mission, because we know we need to, it's a long career path, so we need to target people early. For students who've received their bachelor's or master's degrees, we've recently funded a program through KSU at TZAD for a two-week training program to familiarize people who might be interested in becoming laboratorians with research and careers in high consequence and zoonotic diseases and working in the high containment environment. For current veterinary students, we just kicked off a five-year program in collaboration with Boehringer Ingelheim, their veterinary scholars program, for 12 students to come to ARS laboratories across the country to get research experience for the summer. And it's envisioned that once NBAF is operational, that some of those students will get to train at NBAF. And then we have our longer-term graduate training program for those who are already committed to a career in research and already have a master's or a doctoral degree. We currently have 16 students at five different universities and one company, including Auburn University, University of Connecticut, University of Minnesota, Mississippi State, and Kansas State, who are working with our scientists and getting experience working in these foreign and transboundary animal diseases. Two of those students have already been hired into federal positions and are currently working either at Plum Island or as NBAF, and one of those students was actually hired by APHIS. And so I think as well, APHIS has its own workforce development programs that Katie would like to speak about.
Yeah, sure thing, Roxanne. You know, again, NBAF will be operated by two different agencies, the Agricultural Research Service and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, both part of USDA. So APHIS also has a couple of workforce development programs for those students interested in APHIS's side of the NBAF mission, and that's the prevention, surveillance, diagnostics, and response to foreign animal diseases. So the first program was that was developed was the NBAF Scientist Training Program, and that is also designed to help provide a pipeline of new young scientists and researchers for NBAF. That program, which we affectionately call MSCP, is for DVM, PhD, and master's students. And so these students receive research and educational funding and are guaranteed employment at Plum Island and eventually NBAF. Currently, there are 25 students in that program from 14 universities across the nation. 10 of those are actually K-State students. So far, three students have graduated and transitioned into their federal positions. And I think I just heard in a meeting this week with some folks from Plum Island that they're expecting a few more students who've also graduated or are getting ready to start work at Plum Island until NBAF is operational. And so that was going so well that they created another APHIS workforce development program, and that's the NBAF Laboratorian Training Program, or NLCP. And so that's a summer program for undergrads and recent grads who are interested in becoming lab technicians for high containment laboratories like NBAF. So this summer, APHIS scientists will help kick off two NBAF Laboratorian Training Programs, one at K-State and one also at Texas Tech University. So lots of really great opportunities, both on the ARF and AFIS side, for students to really develop a career path to work at MBAS one day.
And it sounds like these are really, Katie, these are really going to be key here, developing. You mentioned the pipeline there, and we're so fortunate here at K-State because we have a lot of veterinary students. So what a neat opportunity here for a lot of these students.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. And there, you know, that's, we definitely, when we're out and about doing outreach, as Dr. Burton mentioned, we talk a lot about these programs. We attend career fairs. We visit with folks from different universities just to make sure students are aware of these. And, you know, and it's important for students to know where to go to get information too. So we did recently share a press release on our Twitter and LinkedIn accounts about the BI veterinary program that Roxanne mentioned. And it's also posted on our website at usda.gov/MBAS. And we also tweet about application deadlines for the NLTP programs at K-State and Texas Tech. And you can find information about those programs on their website too. And, you know, when in doubt, if you do a quick Google search for APHIS and SCP, you'll find some great information there too. But yeah, we certainly encourage students interested in a possibly working at MBAS one day on the veterinary side, animal health side, or on the science side to just keep checking our website. Again, that's usda.gov/MBAS. We add more information every month, and certainly follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn as well.
All right. You know, and there's a lot of businesses that are facing workforce challenges right now. Are you guys witnessing any of that with NBAF at the moment?
You want me to take that one, Dr. Burton, or do you want to take a stab at it?
Oh, sure, I can jump in. Okay. No, actually, we're still having very good success as advertising positions on usajobs.gov and continuing that hiring pipeline. As far as supply chain issues, you know, like everybody across the nation, we are dealing with some of those from the facilities and support services side. But at this point, everything is continuing to move as we hope, Brandon.
Okay. Well, very good. You know, what is the local MBAF team really focused on here now as you kick off 2022 and we get closer to getting everything finalized at MBAF?
Well, as you can guess, we don't have to look too far to find activities and priorities to focus on. But in 2022, you know, as we start to move our personnel into our offices in MBAS, hopefully in the very near future, and begin to provide more direct support by and to each of our operational units, we're talking a lot with our teams about customer service. And customer service kind of from the perspective of internal customer service between units at NBAF. So we've asked each of our operational units at NBAF to develop a customer service plan. And then we're spending a lot of time at our unit lead meetings presenting those customer service plans to each other and emphasizing the fact that we need to look at those not only from the perspective of what capabilities each unit can provide for the others, but also how well do those capabilities fulfill the needs of the other units to make things flow as efficiently and effectively as possible. So we're working through those customer service needs and plans to make sure we're ready for full operations when that occurs. The other thing is that's a real focus is, as I mentioned earlier, scheduling visits for the Plum Island Animal Disease Center scientific staff from both agencies to come from Plum Island to Manhattan to have the chance to see the laboratories and spaces that they'll be working in. Along with their current day-to-day responsibilities, they've also been writing standard operating procedures and workflow patterns based on the design drawings that they've been provided. So in order to really finalize those plans and to see the actual spaces that they're going to be working in, they need to be here in Manhattan and be able to confirm their work. So as you can guess, COVID's really put a challenge here by restricting what would have been a pretty continuous back and forth travel by scientists coming to Manhattan and our MBAF personnel going to Plum Island. So for us, I guess you could call it internal outreach is really a focus right now in the near future. And then in addition to that, continuing our external outreach efforts are primary, and Katie's team's done a great job of keeping that going during the pandemic, but also looking forward is important. So I'll let her share a little bit more about their outreach efforts, Brandon.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Burton. So as Brandon, you mentioned earlier, it really is a big year for us at NBAF, but also for the community. So many people here have followed the NBAF project since its inception. So as we gear up to complete construction and commissioning this year and work toward beginning to transfer USDA science mission from Plum Island NBAF, excuse me, it's very important for us to be open with the community about what's happening. You know, the public, especially our local community, deserves to understand the safety and security measures we take. And we also know that good communication that's understandable, relatable, respectful, and of course balanced with security, we know that builds support and trust among our stakeholders. So that's why opportunities like this radio show, Brandon, our monthly articles in the Manhattan Mercury, and so many others are so important to us, because they give us that opportunity to talk directly to the general public. So we are excited, to continue our outreach this year, as Dr. Burton mentioned, and certainly encourage any groups interested in continuing to learn more about NBAF to contact us. Our email address is nbaf@usda.gov. And that same email can be used to communicate concerns or questions. Again, we really want to be open with the community, and we want to address whatever concerns that they have. One other item, we do have a community liaison group meeting coming up later this month. We hold those quarterly. In those meetings, there are representatives from local and state government, education, emergency management partners, and other stakeholders. This is actually a group that DHS had set up for us back when construction had started. So we always look forward to the opportunity in these meetings to update the group and hear from them about what additional information we can provide or what they're hearing from their circles. So really looking forward to that later this month as well.
All right. Can we anticipate, Katie, any ribbon cuttings or anything like that this year as you reach some of your milestones? I know you guys have been kind of a maximum telework. I don't know if that will ease up here at all in 2022 or not.
Well, I sure hope it's going to ease up, Brandon. I hope we can, get back to work here in the near future. And certainly, yes, I anticipate that once we get through construction and commissioning, I anticipate that we'll have some sort of ribbon cutting, some sort of event to celebrate this amazing experience and this opportunity. So, much more to come on that. But we certainly look forward to having some sort of celebration, for sure.
Okay, very good. Well, it's always good to chat with you guys. Dr. Burton, thanks so much. And Katie and Dr. Matroni, thank you for being a part of our program this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon. Sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon.
You bet. We appreciate the time this morning. We'll hear from General Perry Wiggins up next on News Radio KMAN.